Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
The break, but the Tykes did bite back, but we held on for a massive 3 points, and the big cheese Tadoon Namir was in town to enjoy the action as well. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live from the Valley on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendes. We've got a packed studio here in SC7 as we get ready to look back at yesterday's 2-1 win, massive 2-1 win in a bit of a relegation six-pointer against Barnsley. Right, I'll start doing the introductions. Over on my right-hand side is Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Very good, thank you.
In a good mood because England lost the rugby and you hate us for some reason?
Yeah, and Wales won and Charlton won.
Yeah, there we
go. Yeah. As weekends go, yeah. Not a bad
take,
one.
Take your wins as and when they come, really, exactly. When you're a Welsh rugby fan,
yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah,
in the middle, making his second appearance of the season, probably the longest gap we've ever had between a debut and a second show, is Ollie White. How you doing, Ollie, all right? Yeah, did you enjoy yesterday?
I loved it, yeah. Slightly nerve-wracking towards the end.
Yeah, what's wrong with your mic there? Ben, can you just check it's switched on?
Oh, my bad.
There we go. Ben was in charge of that and he turned it off during, so there we go. But good to have you in the studio. And also on my left-hand side, a man who doesn't know how to turn a microphone on, it turns out, Benjamin Cloak. How are you, Benji?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, enjoy yesterday?
I did, yeah. Yeah. Feeling a lot more comfortable now.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It was a massive 3 points for us. Still a bit gutted that Wigan went on to win. I can't believe that over at Leeds, so it doesn't really extend the gap between us and the relegation zone, but it does give us a 9-point buffer above Barnsley. It's starting to really look like there's two teams who are already down, and then it's a battle to avoid being in that last place in the relegation spots, and hopefully it'll be Charlton, the team that stay up. So on tonight's show, we'll look back at that victory. We'll hear the highlights in a few moments' time. We'll hear, of course, our exclusive interview with Lee Bowyer, came to speak to Terry after the win. We've got a new feature later on in the show, which definitely needs a better name than the one I've given it so far, but it's fans' views from the fans' bar, because Benji went up to the fans' bar after the game yesterday, spoke to a few supporters to find out what they made of yesterday's performance. And then finally, we've got a bit of nostalgia at the end of the evening. Colin Walsh, of course, everyone knows about that man who scored one of the most famous ever Charlton goals. He was back here at the Valley during the week big for the 80s evening. Terry went up there again. I couldn't do that job really because I don't know nothing about the 80s, but Terry was well into his 50s during that that period, so he went on and interviewed Colin Walsh. Nice to hear from a bit of a Charlton legend there. So don't forget, you can have your say as well. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum to have your say on this evening's show. We want to know what you made of yesterday's performance. We're also, of course, going to talk about our wheeling and dealing during the January transfer window. The window slammed shut. We got three bodies over the line on transfer deadline day. Obviously, we've lost a few over the course of the month as well. So let us know. How do you feel? Are you happy with our month's work in January? So get in touch with the show. We'll share your views on this evening's Charlton Live. Tom, just before we hear the highlights, we needed that. It was a bit nervy in the second half. I think we probably rode our luck. The 3 points are the most important thing, though.
Yeah, I obviously texted you after the game and said we made that a lot harder than we should have done. But as you say, the most important thing was the win. And I thought in the first half we got dragged into a bit of a dogfight with them, really. We weren't really playing the football that we are used to seeing, but we were clinical. I think we only had 4 shots on target in the whole game. Obviously scored our 2 goals, and it could have really been more that first half. And then second half, I thought, actually, we played a bit better in the second half, but Barnsley obviously came out and it was a bit more of a end-to-end game, which you'd expect because they were desperately trying to get back into it, and that obviously left space then going the other way as well. And you're right, we rode our luck. Obviously, they hit the bar a couple of times. Phillips had that weird save, which we were just talking about before we came on air. But we clung on. And as I say, the win's the most important thing. And yes, Wigan got their result as well, but it moves us further ahead of Barnsley coming into what's going to be a very busy month, February, against some teams kind of in and around us in the division.
In terms of the psychology for both the sides involved yesterday, you know, Barnsley will see that as a defeat against a relegation rivalry that I mean, I'm going to go out and say it probably ruins their chances now. I mean, it puts a massive dent in their chances of staying up. But for us to know that we can put in performances against teams like that, considering we've got quite a lot of those in and around us coming up this month, I mean, that's a massive boost for Lee Bowyer.
Definitely, yeah. I think it's the, you know, the Mourinho thing of the teams that kind of succeed are the ones that win ugly even when they're not, you know, playing particularly well. And I think yesterday was a classic example of that. I don't think we were particularly at the races, and it had all the makings of a relegation dogfight. But yeah, luckily got the 3 points.
Yeah, and all the damage done in the first half, and that was it's weird, isn't it, that for all our great play in that first period, I mean, we were nearly undone by a set piece, which is what we've done to Barnsley a couple of times. But for another amazing save by Dylan Phillips, I'm going to go out and say that's one of his best of the season already, and there's a hell of a lot of them to choose from.
Yeah, I think, doesn't he have the stat of the most saves in the country?
That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? But when you think about it, it just means we're giving away a lot of chances. But yeah, I mean, it was an unbelievable save from that header.
Yeah, as you said, got to be one of his best of the season. And it comes at a time, we're 1-0 up, saves it, keeps us in the lead. And if that goes in, 1-1, heads go down. And but we managed to nick another one just before half-time, which was perfect timing, because definitely does Bo's team talk for him there. And but in the end, that rallied them up more than it did us. So that was a shame, but again, we dug deep for the victory, so that was the most important thing.
Exactly that. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights then. Over on Valley Pass yesterday, your commentators, as always, were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
Charlton have a free kick. It's a couple of yards inside the Barnsley half from the centre circle, so probably a good 15 yards inside the Barnsley half. Just right of centre, Cullen over this. Barnsley with everybody behind the ball. Arms up in the air, Cullen. Now chips it into the corner of the penalty area. Pierce with the header, Taylor's there!
Yes!
There's the goal! Charlton take the lead, a lovely free kick, headed into the penalty area. Taylor was on hand behind the defence and just tapped it past Radlinger to give Charlton the lead.
Well, that's why you want to keep this man in this team. It's a really well-worked goal from Charlton. The free kick was perfectly executed. Little chip ball to Pearce, who got up well and flicked it on. I think Collins took the free kick and did. Pierce with a flick on, and Taylor made a run from deep. No one tracked him, and you can't let that man out that space. He just stretches his right leg and just diverts it past the goalkeeper, and Charlton have an early lead. That's going to send this place bouncing, you imagine, after just, what, 9 minutes.
Deemed that to be a foul from the Welsh centre-half, and Barnsley would have this free kick
15 yards outside the John Penny. Swung in now. It's a header. What a save from Phillips.
What a save.
What a superb save from Dylan Phillips. And then the follow-up by, I think that was Holme, hits the post and goes out for a goal kick.
That is an outstanding save from Dylan Phillips. John be furious. It's a great delivery into the Pounsey area. The header down. Phillips diving to his right. Superb save. And then Holme with the rebound is a little bit narrow. He hits the post.
I didn't see who made the header. Maybe Anderson, but I didn't see. But what a save from Dylan Phillips.
I mean, the quality of the delivery was outstanding. And it's hard to defend those, but John be upset that down the other end, they've caused Barnsley all sorts of problems with set pieces. The one chance Barnsley have, and it's an opportunity. And it's taken a fantastic save from Dylan Phillips.
Going to be taken by Doughty. Can Charlton score another before half time? Taylor in the centre, in the 6 yard box, just having a word with some of the Barnsley fans who are calling all names under the sun. Doughty to take the corner. Swings it in, flicked on by Green, and cleared away by Barnsley. Comes back to Doughty. Doughty will look to take on Chaplin. Cuts inside into his left foot. Deep ball into the penalty area. Pierce, good header. Saar with the chance, comes back. Green with the shot.
Yeah!
And they go!
Yeah!
Lovely finish. And Charlton have their second before half time. Pierce again winning the ball from the cross. And Doughty at the far post. Comes down to Saar. Made a little bit of a meal out of it. In the end, it's a good assist as Green just smacks it into the bottom corner. And Charlton make it two.
Well, Alvin Downey's first corner in was attempted to be flicked on by Green. I don't think he got much on it. It was cleared away. Alvin Doughty made space again for the left foot cross. It was a deep one, perfect for Pierce to knock it back into the danger area. Naby Saar couldn't get it out from under his feet, and it deflected into the path of Green, who drilled it home on that right-hand side. And Radlinger had absolutely no chance. Charlton go in to the half-time interval with a 2-0
lead. Second ball won by Chaplin. But there indeed is the half-time whistle. A dream first 45 minutes of Charlton. Look to take on Matthews. Instead goes back to Anderson, who progresses forward from centre-half. And with a strike, is saved by Dylan Phillips. Comes down to Woodrow with a shot off the bar. Comes down and Lockyer clears it away. And then Matthews, it's a good touch to get it away from a door. And ball down the line. It's a poor one. Should have just cleared his lines there. Matthews, it gives Charlton a little bit more pressure as Mowat with a run. The reverse ball is well cut out by Taylor and had a play for a corner, but
the curse,
a bit of panic there for Charlton.
The curse of the opening 15 minutes almost struck again in this second.
Matthews with the throw. It's beyond halfway inside. It's a throw in to Forster Kaski. He's trying to ride two challenges. Couldn't ride the second one. And it's Simoes who gets the ball away, and it's run through for Thomas, who's running into the Charlton danger area towards the penalty area. Goes past one, past another, out to Woodrow. He's going to take a shot, Woodrow. So, no, straight past Dylan Phillips and into the right-hand corner of the net. It's 2-1.
That's a poor goal, really poor goal for Charlton. They give the ball away in midfield. I think Forskaski is outnumbered, and they break. I think Thomas just glides past the challenger Cullen and brings it forward unopposed. Ball comes to Woodrow, glides past the challenger Cullen and brings it forward unopposed. Ball comes to Woodrow on the right hand side. You can't give that man that much space. A really good finisher. And it's created unnecessary nerves, because before that, I don't think Barnsley were creating much at all. And the confidence was low. And it's just a bit sloppy in midfield there from Charlton.
Clear. Chaplin will pick it up on the edge of the Charlton penalty area, though. Goes back to Mowat. Mowat, corner of the penalty area. Back and across to Thomas. Shooting possibility here. Two Charlton players getting each other's way. Ball back across to Brown. Takes the shot off the crossbar. Charlton can't get it clear now.
Off the line.
Comes in from Ludwig off the line by Matthews. Chaplin with a block now from Pierce. Thomas again picks the ball up as Charlton struggle to get it clear. Good block by Hemed Cullen, but it'll ricochet into Brown. Brown back across to Simoes on the left-hand side, looking to take on Matthews. Anderson helps out, gets the ball in. Cleared away by Lockyer for a corner.
Well, how on earth did Charlton get away with that?
He's heavy touch, and Hemed can pick it up for Charlton. Send Andre Green on his
lovely
way down
ball.
The left-hand side. Great ball. Andre Green will collect this on the touchline, looking to take on Holme. Andre Green, edge of the penalty area now. Looks to drill it into the box. Oh, Hemick just can't get there. Just in front of the Charlton striker. And it goes all the way across the opposite.
Great work from Forster Kaski to win it back with Charlton. Back with Matthews.
Just send it into the corner, and that's what he does. To the right-hand corner. Radlinger comes right out. And there's the whistle! Charlton have the victory. It's hard fought. Desperation towards the end. But the Addicts hang on for an enormous 3 points.
Yeah. There we go. The highlights from Valley Pass of yesterday's 2-1 win over Barnsley. And as Terry said there at the end, Tom, I mean, we had to hang on that final 20 minutes or so after they pulled one back. I mean, even before that, we'd seen Woodrow hit the post, and then they hit the post again, one off the line, forcing corners, pushing us back. It was a horrible, horrible last 20 minutes, plus then 7 minutes of injury time as well.
Yeah, I had basically no nails left by the end. And midway through that second half, I know, as I spoke about earlier, they'd started to come out a little bit and had a couple of chances and obviously hit the bar. And you think, well, obviously they're going to do that. They're fighting for their lives, you know, as are we, if them even more so. So you know they're going to come out and they're going to play and they're going to try and get back in the game. But I still wasn't really concerned at all. And then the minute that goal went in, it changed. And for me then, I just assumed they were going to get an equaliser at some point. It was just a matter of when. And yeah, it was really nervy. But the crowd got invested, and I think that kind of fired them up. Or the crowd were pretty loud all game. And as Terry said there, it was desperation at the end, but we managed to cling on. And the run we've been on, as I think we've spoken about on many shows, the football we've been playing has actually been pretty good. And we've been a bit unlucky in a few games, maybe could have got more. But we haven't won very many games, so to get the win was obviously the most important thing. And yeah, we made it a bit harder than perhaps we should have, but we got the 3 points. And if that starts to turn things around going into the next few games, then hopefully it could be a bit of a catalyst.
Yeah, because I'd say at times this season, I mean, obviously we look at our injury problems, but just the way that some games have gone, we haven't had luck too often this season, but yesterday we had it in abundance.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think we tend generally as a club to get the sort of rub of the green, but yesterday we definitely rode our luck in the second half in particular, and I was, you know, same as Tom, just absolutely shocked that we didn't concede, but vital that we didn't.
And I had a really weird day yesterday, and so I had to cover BBC Sheffield because their guy was ill as well, so I had to speak to their manager after Ben. And he was talking about set pieces letting his side down. I mean, imagine how infuriating it must be to come to a game like that where, you know, particularly in the second half, you've more than held your own. But just two poorly defended set pieces has been what's cost them and given us the win. And to be fair, the amount of times that's gone the other way for us this season, we've given away goals from set pieces. Again, I'm hoping that's a sign of our luck starting to change a little bit.
Yeah, I know Jacko works quite hard on the set pieces. I know... For the Preston game, when we conceded, well, Bauer scored that easy header. He was like, I know they would have been marked, but what can you do when they get blocked off? But yeah, Jason Pearce, well done to him. He won two headers yesterday, heads it down. And yeah, we got a bit of the rub of the green. Naby went to hit it in, didn't he? And it bounced back wow, Green just drills it in. Great finish. And then again, great ball by Doughty. Pearce heads it down and Lyle, great touch for the goal. So, yeah, hopefully, maybe our luck's changing a little bit in that regard too.
Yeah, well, let's go into those goals a bit more then, Tom, because obviously the first one, on Thursday's show, we were still saying we're not entirely sure if Lyle Taylor's still going to be here by the time we get to the game on Saturday. But it just shows, I mean, there's not many... We don't seem to have many in our team who have that poacher's instinct in front of goal. And, Lyle would have, like we say, I mean, that would have been a set piece they'd worked on, but he knew he had to be there in the right place. And he was calm enough to place it beyond the goalkeeper.
Says it himself after the game, doesn't he? You can bang it in from 25 yards at times, but those poacher's ones are just as important. Obviously, every goal counts for exactly the same amount. So, yeah, he's going to eat those up, and that's what he's in the side to do. And I presume we'll talk a little bit about kind of January and him... obviously staying for the moment a little bit later. And I know he divides opinion amongst fans, particularly through social media. He's obviously vocal, but he's in the team to score goals. And I don't think anyone can deny that when he's in the side, he works for the shirt and gives his all. And again, when we were listening to the highlights there, we said he had to come off because he was absolutely knackered. But yeah, ran his socks off again, obviously got the goal, which, as I say, he's in the side to do. But the work he does up there from a defensive perspective as well, you know, harrying, chasing defenders, a bit like Gallagher was doing in the team as well, never letting them have a moment's rest, that back four, it makes such a huge difference to the rest of the team. And yeah, I thought he played really well yesterday. And it was nice for him to have some support with Andre Green up there, because obviously since Bond's injury and then Taylor being injured himself, we haven't really been able to see a couple of players up there. So it was nice to actually have that opportunity.
Yeah, and he seemed to be enjoying himself with the away fans yesterday as well, Lyle Taylor. Never one to shy away from getting involved with the opposition supporters. And you may have seen a couple of videos that were doing the rounds on social media, but pretty much, I think before the corner that led to the goal, the second goal, he was winding them up. But he'd been doing it the whole half. And then, of course, when he was substituted in the second period, he was waving them as well. But at the same time, you know, We often talk about how when someone's doing that to you, it's really quite annoying. But when you can wind up another set of supporters, and probably it might even filter through to the team as well, the Barnsley players, I mean, that can just give you a psychological edge. You know, they'll get frustrated, they'll find themselves getting wound up, and they might fall asleep, or they might try too hard to ruin your game and all of a sudden make space for other people as well.
Yeah, I mean, that is just Taylor through and through, really, isn't it? It's testament to how good a player is that fans seem to be, you know, really annoyed with him after every game. You know what to expect from him. He's one of those players where if you're playing against him, he's an absolute nightmare. And if he's playing for you, you love him. You know, I appreciate he's obviously fairly verbose on social media, but he's, I've not got a problem with how he acts on social media as long as he's performing like he performed yesterday.
I mean, obviously he came off Twitter, didn't he, just before Christmas, I think, after there was election season then, wasn't it? So there's plenty of stuff going on the forum. But I mean, as Tom mentioned there as well, Ben, nice to have a partnership, and Andre Green was alongside him. I thought he looked excellent yesterday. I can't get my head around. I know Preston play a different way, but I can't get my head around the fact they didn't use him more often, because when we saw him at, I think, Portsmouth last season on loan, I thought he looked good. And I've been really impressed with him so far. He adds pace to it. He's had a difficult week this week. Unfortunately, his grandfather passed away, and you know, he was playing with that on his shoulders as well. But he put in a superb performance and rounded it off with a really nicely drilled finish into that bottom corner just before half time.
Yeah, I was just saying off air that he worked so hard. He was my man of the match. And that run he did near the end where he ran down the touchline, I was looking, there was about six Barnsley defenders all running back, and he manages to pick out Hemed with a great ball. And I still don't know how Hemed didn't get his head on that, but that's another story. But yeah, he was brilliant. Never stopped running, gave his all, and as you said, after a tough week, puts in a big performance like that. That's what we want. We saw glimpses of Lyle and Bon up front against Bristol City, and they linked really well. So it's great to have another option in Andre and Lyle, who both worked equally as hard. And I think Lyle said after the game yesterday in an interview, he felt that it worked really well. Mm. So that's what we want to hear.
And the other impressive thing about Green is the fact that he was able to go for 90 minutes, because he was one of the players over the course of the last few weeks who was having his minutes sort of rationed a little bit. But he went for the 90 minutes, and he was involved in that move towards the end where, like you say, he whipped over a cross for Tom Ahmed that was good. So it looks like he's pretty much up to full fitness now, which is perfect to see. And he could be a real danger man for us going forward, Tom.
I think he has to be, because obviously Macaulay Bon is still injured, and Lyle, I know he's back now, but I think we still have to manage him. As we just said, he came off, 60, 70 minutes yesterday. He was exhausted. So we do have to be careful with these players. And Green's obviously come in. He's a youngster. He's wanting to impress. Whether Villa are going to be in the Premier League next year or not remains to be seen, but he's still going to want to impress his parent club. And I think there aren't many people who've come in on loan under Lee Bowyer and not improved. Obviously, people like Gallagher improved immensely, but he already looks, I would say, better than he did for his first couple of games, because he's been allowed to play games and get himself up to speed. And again, just talking off air there, we were talking about Hemed. He just hasn't really had that opportunity. Someone like Green has, and to be fair to him, the difference is that Green has maybe not hit the ground running, but from Preston onwards, I thought he was good in that game. Obviously got that goal against his former club. And then yesterday, I agree with Ben, he was probably my man of the match as well. Just works really hard, as you said, in difficult circumstances the week he's had. But he could be a very important player for us. And if he can get four or five more goals between now and the end of the season, that could be the difference between staying up and going down.
Yeah, now, I mean, really, we ought to go into more detail on something that did happen in that first half. I mean, that save from Dylan Phillips, the Mads Andersen header. It was behind him by the time he got down to it, and he still was able to claw it out and push it wide enough so that the rebound could only... Because sometimes a keeper might just push it back into the middle, and the rebound, I mean, could be stroked home, but he pushed it wide enough that it was almost an impossible angle. The flag was actually up anyway for the rebound, but, I mean, I'm sure... If anyone wants to talk about Dylan's distribution, you're more than welcome to email him. But let's talk about some saves, because he does that so often for us, and that was another spectacular one.
I think he was absolutely class yesterday. I'm really shocked that there hasn't been more speculation about him going, to be honest. I think he improves literally every game. I think his kicking is slowly improving every game. I know there was a few back passes that went back to him yesterday, and that side of his game definitely seems to be on the up. And his shot stopping ability, as we saw yesterday, is just unbelievable. I mean, we saw it, and I thought it was, you know, Banks-esque. It was really just so reactive and instinctive. And I mean, you know, the get, as Tom said, it's a totally different game if it's one all, and then, you know, their tails are up, and in that sort of game, anything can happen. So it was so vital that he made that save.
Right, so as is tradition, after half-time, we saw Barnsley have an early chance. We always seem to give away opportunities after the restart, and I still don't really understand why. I think it was Woodrow who hit the post after that sort of unorthodox save, where a long range effort came in and Dylan somehow got his right arm down to it. It must have swerved or something, because it didn't look normal with that, but he got it away. Woodrow's hit the post, but you can see Barnsley growing in confidence. They pull one back even with 20 minutes left to go. I think it was Luke Thomas who made the mazy run through the midfield. We did give the ball away. Was it Forster Caskey who'd given it away?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, this has come just after that. Like Williams and Taylor have both gone off now. Taylor with Williams, he'd been down, wasn't he, sort of holding his ankle a couple of minutes before, and then he played on, and then he came off. So I did worry about that, but I did when I spoke to Lee Bayer after, he said that was purely tactical. There's no problem there as far as he was concerned. It was just about the fact that there was a lot more tracking back to be doing. So it's ironic, really, that it's then Jake who was brought on to help add a bit more defensive cover as well, who gave the ball away for the goal. Woodrow, good player, scored a great goal against us at Oakwell early on in the season. Pulled one back. And then all of a sudden it's nervy, and we saw that in the space of the next few minutes when they had that chance off the post and then off the line, because no matter how well you've played in the first half or how comfortable you feel, as soon as you concede one and it's a game of that importance, then the nerves can get to you.
Yeah, well, I still have nightmares of that whole game when they scored so late on.
Last kick of the game.
Yeah, but obviously having Cullen back there does help big time. I thought Doughty had a really good game in the defensive role. There was a vital header. I think he got away when, I think they had one of the shots where they hit the bar and come back and he headed it away. Just relieves a little bit of pressure. I'm sure Bo now will look on the training ground to different ways we can try and counteract that, because it seemed like we went really deep. And obviously Jake's not match fit yet, so he looked a little bit behind. I mean, realistically, you'd love to leave Lyle and Johnny on, but Lyle's cramping up. Johnny, as you said, was getting knock after knock from the Barnsley players. They really went in hard on him. And as we were saying earlier, attack's the best form of defence, and we were able to keep pushing forward while those two were on the pitch. But then we bring on two players that aren't really match fit yet to be able to make a difference to the game. And we kind of did, as was said earlier, resort back to quick drop back, and then panic stations. But there were some vital little headers away and clearances that made the difference for us yesterday.
Yeah, and was it six minutes of added time? Was it that was shown? And then during that 6 minutes, there was two players down for, I'd say, at least 3 minutes. Mm. So I was absolutely shocked and delighted to see the referee blow up after about 7 minutes anyway. So we got away with that one a little bit. But we held on. And like we say, in terms of a result for us, it's... I think that makes us, 4 or 5 games unbeaten now at home in the league, if you obviously take away the FA Cup defeat, which is a nice little run to be on. Obviously, only our second win in forever, but it's a win against, as I say, a team in and around us. We've got a massive game against Stoke next week as well. A chance to hopefully start to build some of that momentum with the players back and the players we've brought in January. And hopefully, we're praying now, we're going to go on that run. If we can get 3 or 4 results strung together, that'll pretty much be enough, I reckon, to keep our heads above water, as long as Wigan don't keep going and pulling off the unbelievable results like they did at Leeds yesterday, Tom.
I think so, yeah. I mean, when you're playing Leeds at this stage of the season, anything can happen, can't it?
Well, it's a bit given you're going to win, it seems.
Yeah, we know they have a habit of messing up when they've got that chance of promotion, but ain't back to us since the Swansea game, and that announcement came in of the takeover being confirmed. And obviously we went to Swansea and had to play all those youngsters still and lost. But it felt then like the tide was slowly starting to turn. Transfer window was obviously open then. And it's maybe been a bit slower than we would have liked, but we've obviously got players through the door now, which again, I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit. We have got players back from injury. Bowyer signed his contract. Performances have been pretty good, as you say. Our home record, aside from the cup game, has been good. So I think we have started to see a change since the new year, really. And again, we haven't maybe got as many wins as we would have liked, but I do think that slowly things have started to turn. As you said, Lady Luck sort of turned up yesterday as well, which helped.
Didn't score though, like Nathan said a few weeks ago.
Unfortunately not. but yeah, you're right. We've got huge games coming up against the likes of Stoke and Huddersfield and Blackburn. So they're the ones that are going to really matter. And I agree with you, probably three or four wins should be enough. I think we're more than capable of getting them. We've certainly got a squad good enough to do it. And as we all said before the show, the signings we brought in hopefully are enough to get us through to the summer. And then it's about seeing what ESI can do then, looking at next season, depending on what league we're in. But I think based on what I saw yesterday, I've been pretty consistent on this anyway. I still think we've got more than enough to stay up.
Right, almost time to hear from Lee Bowyer. Don't forget, later on in the show, we're going to hear some fans' views from the fans' bar after Benji went around and spoke to some supporters in Crossbars yesterday. We're also going to hear from Charlton legend Colin Walsh later on in the evening. We want to hear from you guys as well. Email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live or head over to the Charlton Live forum. Have your say on yesterday's game and, of course, our wheeling and dealing in the transfer window. The window slammed shut on Friday evening. We got three bodies over the line on deadline day. I want to know what you make now of our situation with our squad. Were you disappointed that money wasn't spent? Are you just happy that we got loans in what some people say is a difficult window? Anything you want to say, get involved with the show. Right, Lee Bowyer came in to speak to Terry after yesterday's game, and Tell asked the Addicts boss if there was a mixture of relief and happiness at the full-time whistle.
Yeah, the most important thing is obviously they put us a bit of pressure at the end, but I felt quite comfortable, if I'm honest. But yeah, the most important thing is if we get 3 points, we move on. And this stage of the season, doesn't matter how it comes, you just win games. We done it really well last season. We're on the run in there. So yeah, it's going to be times that we're better and maybe not pick up points. So yeah, players dug in, fans got behind us. 3 points, everyone goes home happy.
And start the ball rolling, Lyle Taylor, first off for a while, and then gets that goal. And you just see the reason why you miss him.
Yeah, this is why I said to the chairman, like, it's vital that we keep him for moments like that. That's what fans pay to come and see. So I'm delighted that he stayed. That's what he does. I thought him and Andre was unplayable first half. They didn't know what to do. Their centre half should have been sent off. So, but yeah, second half, a little tired, which we knew was going to happen. So I thought Lowell was excellent.
How pleasing was it? I mean, you had the first half, which controlled pretty much start to finish, although Dylan Phillips still had to pull off, got an incredible save to keep us in it.
Yeah, they had the header from the set piece, but apart from that, I can't remember anything else going near the goal. So we was in control, like cruise control, really. And we didn't even move it as well as what we normally do. The pitch was really dry. I don't know why. It's really dry, and then it just bouncing, and we just couldn't get into the flow of things. But yeah, in the second half, obviously we had a few, like Josh cramping up, and Johnny Williams and Lyle and Alfie Doherty, like they was tiring, and so they put a bit of pressure on, but they ended up changing their formation at half time to match us up, and which everyone seems to be doing when we're on top. So but the lads dug deep and stood strong.
One of the key issues today, probably compared to previous months, weeks and months, is that when you had to make a change, because as you say, players tiring, you could look to your bench and the quality on there, with all due respect to the ones that have come before, significantly improving.
Yeah, players on there with experience and the men. It's nice to see. Hopefully we can keep it that way. The ones that are coming back from fitness are still getting fit. So AD ain't played many minutes of late. Ozzy's only just come back a couple of weeks ago, so he's still building up minutes. Tamar Ahmed the same, you know, so it's difficult, but we need to keep them fit. We keep them fit, we keep winning games. Like, I have no doubt. Like, I've got a great bunch in there, and they work hard and they can play.
And that was significant in the first and first part of the second half with Andre Green and Lyle Taylor running how many miles, I have no idea, and Darren Prattley as well. Just missed out on a goal, and the next thing he's back edge of the open area making a block, and that's the sort of thing that's going to be needed in the coming weeks and months as well.
Well, it's going to be people coming and out, going to have to rotate it and freshen things up, but this month is a hectic month. So we start next weekend with Stoke, tough place to go, but we have to go there and be strong, and I'm sure if we go there and do the right things, then we've got a very good chance of winning.
And not just hectic, of course, we're playing three of the sides now coming up that are in and around us, you know, Stoke, Huddersfield, Luton, all in and around us. So in terms of positional, the positional side of where we are, getting points against those three could be crucial as well.
A bit like today, if Barnsley win today, they're three behind us, but instead they're nine. So yeah, they're all important. Like, Wigan's just gone to Leeds and won. It's crazy. You just can't predict, you know. All you can do is just try your hardest and see where it takes you. And I know that with my players and with the fans behind us, that we can go anywhere and win, especially good at home as well.
You mentioned before about the valley was rocking, and it certainly was, almost not quite a full house, but it felt like it at times.
Yeah.
And with the transfer window business that you did, the fact that His Excellency Tanu Namir was here, did it feel like the start of something today? It felt like that around the ground, that fans just got a sense of this is a part where we push on, or this is a part where new beginnings, if you like.
Yeah, this is what I'm hoping. At the end of the day, we all want to be successful, and I'm definitely one of them. And hopefully, the club now can start going in the right direction. I've said this many, many times. Nothing changes. I want to be part of this club moving forward. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited for it. So yeah, hopefully we can all do that together, and that helps when you're winning games. I get that. So. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it.
And on a personal point of view, transfer window's now done and dusted. Injury, players injured, coming back. You might be able to grab a few more hours sleep, wouldn't you?
Yeah, sleep tonight, I know that. I've had no sleep really the last couple of nights, but tonight I will. I'll be laying tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to it.
Superb performance today, man. Well done, Lee, and good luck next week as well. We'll be there.
Cheers.
Tired of ads barging into your favourite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pearce is there, Bowers with a header, and it's Jones!
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Oh, he's got! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
So welcome back. This is Charlton Live coming to you live from the Valley on your Sunday evening. That was Lee Bowyer speaking exclusively to Charlton Live, to Terry, after yesterday's 2-1 victory over Barnsley. Clearly, he said he hasn't had much sleep over the course of the last few days. Of course, with the end of the transfer window, they went all the way up to 11 o'clock to finally get David Davis over the line. We'll talk about the transfer window shortly, but Ollie, obviously, Tanoom was here yesterday. Mm. Very exciting to see him. He's just a bloke, really, isn't he? But he's it was a bit different. And me and Ben were chatting about this in the car on the way. We're trying to work out how many games behind Roland he is now.
I think he's on par.
Yeah, I can't imagine Roland saw more than two or three. So he might even have been one. So it's nice to see him show his face. There's still so much we don't know about the man. But I'm sure he enjoyed what he saw yesterday, especially that sort of, you know, we're in the added time and the grounds all up on their feet singing and chanting. And I'm sure he gets to see how much of a special place this place can be when we're winning.
Yeah, he definitely came to a good game. I mean, it wasn't, you know, a 4-all, one for the neutrals, but it was in terms of the atmosphere, in terms of what it meant to the club, in terms of, you know, turning over a new leaf, all the kind of stuff that goes along with that. I think he came to a really good one. And I'm hoping that there's definitely scope for him to turn up to a few more in the future.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, I think he's probably got more of a right than Roland ever did to actually be absent from them. it's good to see him.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? I think with Roland's absence, I mean, if we were doing well and Katrine was running the show and everything was happy, it probably wouldn't have been a problem. And now that's what Matt Southall has to do. If he can keep things ticking over nicely, then no one will really care if Tanoon's not here. If everything goes horribly wrong and all of a sudden you feel like the man who might hold the purse strings isn't around to find out what's going on, then it'll become a problem. But at the moment, you know, he's obviously happy letting Matt to do his job. And Matt's had a very big month himself, his first month as a Football League chairman in the transfer window, and that slammed shut on Friday. It was a tough decision on Friday night, depending on your stances on certain things. If you were sat there at 11 o'clock watching Sky News or Sky Sports News, but I only lived down the road from the training ground, the bang on 11 o'clock, fireworks in the air of celebrating David Davis's arrival at the training ground, of course, I believe. What are we going to say then, Ben? We went into it with a lot of hope. You know, the deal was rushed through to make sure that ESI were here in order to spend millions of pounds in the transfer window. Or where, you know, no one really knew what to expect. It's only ended up as loanies. Were you disappointed? Were you happy? I mean, we've got bodies in. We've lost bodies during the window. How are you feeling at the end of it?
At the end of the window, my first feeling was I was disappointed because we made a bid for a player, and that for me was amazing. And Twitter went into meltdown that day.
It's Madison you're talking about.
Yeah, when we bid for Madison, everyone was like, oh my goodness, Charlton have actually bid like a decent money for a player. And obviously we found out because the Peterborough chairman said about it. So I guess our first reaction there was, hang on, Charlton are going to spend some money this window for once. And It turns out in the end we got four loans in, some solid loans. I think McGeady's got that certain spark about him that he can make something out of nothing, which is great. I think he provides goals for us as well. So that's good. And I think I was chatting yesterday with someone, it might take the pressure off Johnny. So I could imagine, look, yesterday Johnny got battered by Barnsley. They just kept fouling him every time. And McGeady seems that same kind of player. So maybe one game McGeady does 60, then bring Johnny on. The next game Johnny does 60, bring on Aiden. I'm just guessing he might, hopefully, he turns out to be that kind of player, but adds a few more goals. Sort of Birmingham fans seemed a bit gutted that David Davis left them. So that seems like a bit of a coup for us to get him in. Seems like for like with Prattley. So again, maybe they can share some game time together. But it seems like Prattley can go on forever as well. Smith, bit of an unknown quantity, but he's got some Welsh teammates around him, so they might be able to help him out there. But yeah, overall, as I said at the start, I was a little bit disappointed. But thinking about it, it's a hard window to come in for. We got the bodies in, and we got three games in 7 days coming up soon. So we'll vitally need those bodies in.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Marcus Madison. Interesting, I don't know when it came out, but I saw it today, the Peterborough chairman, Darren McAntony, appears to have his own YouTube channel as well. So I was watching a video with him when he effectively told us everything that happened. He said that we'd bid £1.5 million for Maddison, which was to be paid in stages. There were further add-ons, £500,000 if he played 50 games, another £500,000 if we were to get promoted. And also Peterborough would have had a sell-on fee as well. So if we went on to sell Maddison in his time here, they could have got a percentage of that as well. So interesting to see how he laid down exactly the sort of money we're talking about. Also interesting to find out why he didn't, apparently, according to McAntony. One of the problems that Maddison, I mean, initially when he was told that Charlton were interested, Maddison straight away was like, no, I'm not interested. Don't want to go there. Partly because of the traffic in London, which, I mean, is quite bad, but I've never heard that one before. And a few other bits. I think it sounded like he wanted to go up north. And eventually he was persuaded to speak to Bowyer. He liked the idea. He said we just needed to reach a certain level of wages, which we never reached. There's a couple of other clubs that in the end spoke to Maddison, and we weren't able to reach those level of wages as well. So, and then Dara did say that it was more, he thinks that Maddison was asking for way too much rather than we were being cheap or anything like that. So it's interesting the way that's played out. I mean, when you hear that, it does sound automatically like you've dodged a bit of a bullet there. He didn't want to be here, did he?
It doesn't sound like it, no. A very good player, very talented, but I think his personality is something we might have seen from the way he plays his football against us. I would have loved him to come through the door, but we've said it about every player that's come in. Their attitude has to be right. This is a good group of players and a really good unit, and there's good squad harmony. You can see that in the performances, so you don't want someone to come in and disrupt it. It was the same thing we were saying about, if we offer Lyle, you know, £20,000 a week, you're going to have players knocking at the door saying, well, what about me? What about me? So we have to be very careful with that. It is a balance. And, you know, one man is never bigger than the club. And if he was already wary about coming here and then his wage demands were excessive, I think we've done absolutely the right thing. And it's a shame because on the pitch, he's a very good player, but he's got to be the right fit. And it just doesn't sound like he was, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, what's your views on the window overall? I mean, as I said, we haven't actually spent money. We've bought loanies in, but at the same time, we did try to spend money on a particular player who, in the end, the wages have looked a lot. So I guess, you know, for ESI, this is a bit of an audition almost for them. We find out a bit more what they're about. And I don't know, some people saw it's sort of in the middle of the road, really. Hopefully enough players to keep us up, and then you get to August or the summer transfer window, and all of a sudden that's really when they've got to prove themselves now, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with Tom and Ben. I think they've done enough to provide some depth. And, you know, like you say, it's the problem with January is clubs know where they are, and so the prices automatically inflate, because if you've got someone like, I mean, I saw we were in for Gnandwier, I think he's called, the Blackpool striker. But, you know, the valuations are obviously going to be inflated because Blackpool, for example, if he's their star player, they're not going to want to lose him when they're in a playoff push. You know, so I think all things considered, I think Davis in particular is going to be really handy. I think he takes the weight off Prattley quite a lot. And I think, I mean, we've seen what McGeady can do before. And I think obviously he's not in the prime of his years, but I think he's... The other nice thing is we don't have an abundance of wingers. And so I think if Green's going to potentially be used as a winger at times, it's quite handy to have that kind of balance on both sides. And then Johnny sort of playing as the 10 and maybe Lyle up top. But yeah, broadly speaking, straight after I was thinking, well, maybe we could have done with getting a forward in and maybe it would have been nice to get a permanent. But I completely kind of understand why that couldn't happen, because it sounded like, you know, we would have been setting a slightly dangerous precedent if we're taking these kind of ridiculous wage demands from agents and whatever. And so, yeah, I think in hindsight, it was a fairly shrewd window. And as I said earlier, I think time will tell when you get to summer, because I think clubs are a lot more willing to let players go for what their actual market value is. And so, yeah, I think we'll know then, you know, exactly what ESI are made of and whether this was the best way of going about it, getting these three loans in.
Yeah, it certainly was. Transfer deadline day was exciting because very rarely, I mean, we see Darren McAntony sets the bar now with his own YouTube channel, but Matt Southall's tweeting was quite fun. I mean, he's worse than me. He was really getting carried away on there. Some of the stuff I think had to be deleted after a while, where he's saying you wouldn't get Lyle Taylor's left boot for £3 million. And all of a sudden, that gets deleted. And all of a sudden, you think, oh, God, someone's actually bid for him. But I think it's just a case of, well, you don't know what's going to happen. If someone does bid £5 million, say £6 million, into the window, and all of a sudden you sell him because you can't turn an offer like that down, and you've got a tweet like that, you're going to look a little bit silly. But Matt will certainly enjoy it. And I think it got the fans up. They seem to be, it got them excited. I've got nothing against a chairman getting involved on Twitter like that, especially when he got involved with the show as well on Thursday. It made it quite exciting for us. Right, let's have a look at some of the messages that have come in then over the course of this evening's show. You can get in contact with us, email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can comment on the Charlton Live forum. Rossman did just that on the forum. He said, if the Barnsley fans are upset with Lyle now, imagine how annoyed they'll be next season when we nick Corley Woodrow from them to be Lyle's strike partner. I ain't going to say no to that. Briston says, we won yesterday, therefore it's a good win. Is there any such thing as a bad win? Not at all. The first half performance was good. The second half wasn't. I was reminded of Patient Slade's comments a few years ago about needing snorkels if they defended any deeper. The worrying aspect, though, was that the match stats, RE shots at goal. Barnsley had 16 efforts to R8. Isn't the problem itself, but they had multiple attempts at goal from single passages of play. Dylan Banks made the wonder save in the first half, one shot, but then there's a follow-up shot that hit the post, that's two. In the second half, we had saves by Dylan, shots hitting the woodwork, goal line clearances, and all in the same phase of play. Group all these together, and they were probably only about 10 Barnsley attacks leading to shots at goal, which is a bit better than the stats. But the problem is, why can't we clear the ball or kill the play after the first attempt? We don't seem to be able to create similar opportunities. We have a shot, it's saved or missed the target. Occasionally it scores, and that's the end of our possession. It's a lack of anticipation from our attacking players that they don't get into positions to take advantage of a rebound. I mean, it's not something I've really thought about before, that question from Bristol. I mean, it's true, there were a few scrambles yesterday. It got a bit chaotic at times, but at the same time, you have to say, I mean, our second goal did come from exactly that situation. Is that something you've noticed before, Ben? Something that concerns you?
I haven't, no. I think sometimes it is a bit lady luck. Sometimes the ball bounces down to you. I mean, as we said earlier, it did come to Naby Sarr. He went to shoot, missed it, bounces to Green, fires it in, goal. I mean, what a save yesterday by Dylan, because as we said, it did kind of look like it swerved in the air. Saves it, action save. It bounces straight back to them. They smash it against the bar. What can you do? It's just sometimes I just think it's the bounces or whatever. Mm. I don't think it's down to us shoving our bodies.
If you remember at the start of the season when, I mean, that was it, the Brentford game when we beat them 1-0, and they had that incredible sequence of events at the end where we had about five goal line blocks in a row. I mean, no one was not complaining or worrying then. Sometimes you just got to do the dirty work. I'm sure we'd like things to be a little bit calmer at the back, but sometimes it's just bouncing around, especially when there's a team like Barnsley fighting for their lives and throwing bodies into the penalty area. That's just how it's going to go. But cheers for your message, Briston. Muzza Jazz says, a nervy win yesterday. Where do people think of these names on the forum? our defending was dodgy yet again. I felt Boyer made a mistake substituting Taylor with Hemed. We only had three in midfield and we're getting swamped towards the end. I felt Field should have come on instead, and we should have played Green up front on his own. Not bad chat. I wonder if that's a fitness thing. Yeah. But we got the win, and if we beat the teams around us, we will still have to play. We should be okay. Hopefully the loan business we did will be enough to help us keep up in the division, and Boyer and Gallen can do a proper rebuild in the summer. Up the Addicts, that's from Muzza. Cheers for that, mate. And Mendonca and Asters said, just wondered if anyone in the studio bumped into His Excellency on Saturday and managed to persuade him to subscribe to the Charlton Live podcast. Did anyone see His Excellency? I haven't seen him at all.
I saw His Excellency Nath, but not.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he doesn't subscribe already, because, I mean, who doesn't? We'll have to check, because we can get the listener figures for overseas.
Get the location as well.
We can get them. We get loads in the US. We get one or two in Thailand as well. We get loads all over the place. And someone's just sent us a message. Addicted said, apparently people are saying that too many people are using the phrase "dodged a bullet" It's like you're copying each other's posts, but apparently people have said that already on this evening show. Well, there you go. We did dodge a bullet a little bit yesterday, so we can't. I don't know if we have, but other people have. But we can't really complain about that. Right, Ev has got involved on Twitter. It says it was a great win. A first half performance was great as well. We showed how fragile we are, though, when Taylor and Williams were withdrawn. But we're getting a bit of form now, so watch out. Great team spirit as always. Okay, so my positive stance of playoffs is super slim. We need 6 wins in the next 6 games to have any chance. Do I think we'll do that? Why not? We can do it, and I know that Bose thinks we can do it as well. So I'm saying we will do it. Are you with me, everyone?
Yes.
Are you?
No.
No. Yeah. I still think it's a big ask to get into the playoffs, but I do.
Sorry, Ev.
I do admire Ev's enthusiasm there. My name is not Jim. Says you really should put what your actual name is. Then there wasn't a single bad performance. I struggle to see how people thought we could replace Lyle. He's just immense. Dylan Phillips securing himself as a great goalkeeper once again. My word, what a save! I'm glad Matthews is doing so well as well, because Solly doesn't seem up to it. Well, I mean, Ollie Matthews, I've been impressed with what I've seen yesterday. I mean, certainly keeping Solly out of the team, that's not for debate. He's been exciting to watch.
Yeah, we discussed it earlier. I think I'm pretty surprised he never really got as much of a chance at Sunderland, especially given they were in the league below. But he looks, he's very good going forward. I think his crossing's quite good. And he's one of those players that when he gets the ball, you don't worry about what he's going to do with it, which I think is always important as a fullback. Maybe barring a nervy moment at some point since he's been with us, I think he's been great. I think he's got all the attributes to be a really good right back, and unfortunately, he's keeping Solly out the side.
I mean, I've seen people write off Solly before, though. My name is not Jim, it's not the first person to do that, and he has come back from that, so I'll be surprised if that's the last we've seen of Chris Solly, but he's certainly out the side at the moment. Right, Freddie says it was an amazing first half. Lyle and Andre are a force to be reckoned with. Really missing Bond though, as Hemed just doesn't seem to be good enough yet. Any chance you know why he kept having his face checked on the sidelines? Anyone notice that with Tommy?
I didn't know.
I thought he was getting stitched up.
Was he?
I thought we had a cut.
That's
right. Have your thoughts in the microphone next time. I have to admit I didn't notice that, but there we go. Right, Graham says, I'm just glad that we have kept Lyle Taylor. We need to give him a good new contract now. Would you reckon the chances are of keeping him, Ben?
I think depends how we do, but I think they're pretty slim, because if he leaves at the end of his contract, go get a big signing on for another club.
Yeah, you never know. Who knows what can happen between now and then. Graham's also asking, I wonder if the new owners will reinstall the free fans Wi-Fi at the Valley like we used to have. Well, I'm sure it's not at the top of their list of priorities, but we definitely need new press Wi-Fi if you're listening, His Excellency. We've already discussed that you probably are subscribed to the podcast, so if you could get the lads to sort out, that'd be excellent. Right, Robert says, excellent first half, although we did need Dylan to pull off a bit of a weldy to keep us at 1-0, and we clearly showed how much we miss a fully fit Williams and Taylor. Second half, we allowed them too much space, and they nearly nicked an equaliser. Clearly, Lady Luck was on our side yesterday. MICFC says, evening, guys. Any comments on Solly? Will he never play again? Will he never play again for us? And then will he end up going to Den Haag with Pardew and Powell? Can you see that one happening, Tom?
Seems unlikely, but I think what the guys have said about Matthews already, he's come in and first few games I wasn't really sure what he was about, but he's just improved and improved and improved. And what we said about the back five, he can play that wing back role really well. Adds the defensive cover and can get forward. And at this stage in his career, and with the supposed knee injury that Solly has, or the knee that he has to kind of manage, he just can't do that. I think there's still a place for him when we have a back four and we go away sometimes, because his defensive quality is very good. But I just think at the moment, Matthews is the guy in form and deserves to be playing.
Right, Bob Liscombe says, it sounds like we've had a lucky escape in terms of not signing Marcus Maddison, who's ended up on loan at Hull, of course. Dave Boy says, Premier League, here we come. Yeah. There's nothing like getting carried away after one victory, is there? Dave and Ever on the same team at the site, though. Tony out in Spain says, evening, chaps. I'm pretty happy with our deadline day deals. Honestly, couldn't tell you anything about them except the usual Wikipedia stats. But I trust Boya and Gallen. Yesterday was definitely a game of two halves. We looked very comfortable in possession. Dangerous in attack in the first half, but completely lost our shape when Williams and Taylor came off in the second. Needed a bit of help from Lady Luck that hasn't been with us lately, but overall a well-deserved 3 points. On to the next one for another 6-pointer against Stoke. Laura says it would have been much better if Barnsley had spent more time playing and less time fouling our players. And also adds, controversially, it did seem that Charlton were time-wasting yesterday. Yeah, no, it's game management when we do it. It's only time-wasting when the opponents do it. Nice to see you as well, Laura. So she comes down from Liverpool for the games, and I'm glad she was rewarded with the 3 points yesterday. Ken says, let's just say it was 3 points sealed with a kiss. Yeah, Lyle Taylor did seem to be kissing the... I know. Ken told me, actually. Apparently, Darren Pratley kissed one of their players. I just remember Ken emailed me this earlier. So, did anyone see this? Because I had no idea what Ken was talking about. But basically, Ken told me, did anyone else see Pratley kiss their player in injury time after handbags over a bottle of water? Now, I did see the handbags over a bottle of water, but apparently he reckons Pratley sealed it with a kiss. Anyone see that?
No, I didn't see it.
No. It was really bizarre. Like, so
he loves winding players up, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, after the clash where the two players were down in added time, the Barnsley physio was on and handed a bottle of water to one of the Barnsley players, and then Pratley, I don't see a problem with this, just said, oh, can I have some of that? And he took it off him and started drinking it, and the Barnsley player got really protective over his bottle of water, so he like took it back off him. So I don't know what they're drinking up in there, unless they've put something in there to try and help him get back into the game in the closing stages. But yeah, it was a really bizarre moment. Right, Bob says, evening all. Just wondered what the official attendance was yesterday. Read on a site there was 19,870, which seems rather low. Yeah, that was what it was, I think. It was pretty much around that, that ballpark. That, yeah, it looked pretty full. The covered end, I think, was sold out, wasn't it, overall? There's probably a few empty seats who didn't quite turn up, but... yeah, no, it looked pretty good. And then Bob also says, wonder who your player of the season is. Has to be Pratley for me, with Dylan a very close second. Ollie, I mean, are those two in your top two?
Yeah, Pratley would be my number one.
Yeah.
I think Gallagher maybe would have had a reasonable shout before he left. But yeah, I think particularly given his age, I mean, you know, I'm stating the obvious, but it's unreal what his performance levels have been like this season. And he just seems to be aging like a fine wine. I mean, he just seems to be... he was great last season, particularly sort of entering into the playoff stage. And this season, he's just been totally infallible. Mm. Doesn't ever seem to be injured. And yeah, I'd be really interested to see how long he can keep it going for, because he's, what, 35 now, I think?
34. He's going to turn 34 shortly, yeah. So, like a fine wine, he's locked in the basement between games. But yeah, he's always saying about how his stats, he's always very proud of his stats in training. He reckons he's one of the fittest at the club. Right, Richard Justham says he's gutted about John Bostock not joining. He was due to join on loan from, well, officially from Toulouse, but he's at Forest at the moment on loan. Can we go back for him in the summer? Please, with McGeady and Davis, Matt Smith is a wild card. It says, is Pratley seen as a centre-back now? We can certainly fill in that role. But yeah, I mean, Bostock, we saw the story. So basically, he was on loan at Forest. They've hardly played him. So we've gone in for him. Toulouse couldn't be bothered to fill in the paperwork because they were happy that his wages were getting picked up elsewhere. There's like, not our problem. So that must have been quite frustrating.
Yeah, it must have been. Because if he's passed the medical at a club, you're just itching to sign for him, aren't you? And if your parent club can't be bothered, what does that show for your future at that club? So, yeah, we may go back in for him in the summer. Mm. I remember when we played Forest down here in that great first half, and then the second half was all Forest. I thought he had a really good game that game, and I thought he was one of the standout players for them, but doesn't seem to have worked out.
Disappointing from the French club. You would have thought they would have had nothing to lose, but there you go. Right, Rick says, getting worse, aren't they? Yeah, Rick says, what is Boyer's problem with Morgan? Albie Morgan, why we get a load of midfielders in when Taylor gets injured again? Where are the goals going to come from? Hemed is like a bigger version of Simon Church. Nothing wrong with that. Pearson Saar needs to go. Alfie is not a left back. I like to see him on the wing. Yeah, we're sort of playing left wing back yesterday, wasn't he? But yeah, I mean, clearly, Bo doesn't fancy Morgan at this moment in time, Tom. He's talked about his defensive cover. That seemed to be a problem before.
That's what he said, and I get it. And he obviously had that bit of a, not a ding-dong, but a little discussion with the journalist after the game recently, where he praised Albie going forward. And he said, yeah, but you seen what he's done defensively. I do see what he's saying, but I think I said it maybe that weekend that, for me, because we're struggling to score a lot of goals, what Albie does going forwards, I think, makes him worth putting him in the side. And when you've got Pratley and Cullen there, I don't think necessarily the defensive thing is such an issue. And I think what I said at the time was, we're conceding goals with other players in the team anyway, so Albie not coming back isn't going to make a huge amount of difference. So look, you saw it yesterday for the goal. I know it was Forster-Kaski that had his pocket pick, but Alfie Darity was a bit out of position for that one as well. The youngsters are going to have to learn that. Like you said, Alfie's a winger traditionally, so he's not used to playing wing back. Albie likes to go forward, so it's the funner part of the game, right? So people like Prattley are going to teach those youngsters, but it does take a bit of time. And I can't remember if it was Naif who said it, but Bowie was probably comparing them to his own high standards because he was one of the best midfielders in the country when he was playing. And if you're trying to compete to be the next Lee Bowyer, it's going to take some player to do it. So,
but at the same time, Bo did talk about reasonably recently about how, again, talking about Morgan, how when he was at a certain club, there was a manager, I can't remember which one of these former managers, a well-known manager. Graham Souness, who left him out of a starting 11 because, you know, Bo thought he was top of the world. He'd been scoring goals, he'd been getting forward well, but he was left out of the 11 because he wasn't getting back. So I wonder if that's exactly the sort of mind games that the Bowie is playing here with Albie and Morgan. Right, Sebo says, next week when we're playing at Stoke, that is the ground where I last missed a competitive Charlton games. I think you're going back to like the late 90s there, so I just don't even know if it's even built then, but apparently it was. It's hard to think of a game, a Charlton game, with Sebo not in the crowd, but there you go. He also adds that the January transfer window in the grand scheme of things could have been much, much worse. Yeah, and I agree with that. Right, let's have a listen to a new feature we've got on this evening's show. It's called Fans Views from the Fans Bar, until we think of a better name, because yesterday after the game, Benji went up into the Fans Bar, used to be known as Crossbars here at the Valley, after the game, to find out what some of the supporters thought of yesterday's performance against Barnsley. Our roving reporter asking for fans having a celebratory drink, and if you listen carefully, you'll find one who's probably had more than the others. But yeah, let's have a listen to what Benji heard from some of the supporters in the Fans Bar yesterday.
Well, it's a massive 3 points for us against Barnsley today. Obviously ride our luck a bit in the second half, but the first half was a great performance. You could see that today with like key players back in the side, like Taylor, Cullen and Williams, really make a big difference for us. And the first half was a good, really good performance. Ride our luck a bit in the second half. Also got to mention that save from Phillips in the first half at 1-0 up was an incredible save. Was sat right behind that, and he got a massive reception from the supporters after that, really kept us in the game, and well happy to get a big 3 points in a big relegation game today.
I thought we deserved the 3 points. Really good first half, thought we controlled it to the most part. Cracking save from Phillips, vital save at the time. Second half, I was hoping for more, hoping for that third goal. Didn't come. They got the goal that I was fearing. But I thought we saw the game out really well last 20 minutes. Good performance from Green. Thought he really did do well up front. When Taylor came off, I weren't really sure for why. Can only assume still bringing him back in. But overall, I thought the guys out there, it was a good performance. Felt like Taylor gave his all, which is, I think, what a lot of us weren't sure was going to be the case. Really happy. Vital 3 points. Results pretty much gone our way today, other than Wigan. But let's roll on Stoke. I think they're there for the taking. Let's bring it on.
We play very, very well. It's nice to have a full strength team out there. But all of a sudden, when Williams went off, and also Taylor went off, we seemed to just an average side. Yeah, we were very lucky at the end to not lose the game. But you know, Dion Phillips as well, what a great goalkeeper. Darren Prattley again, what a diamond he is.
I think the saying, a game of two halves, has never been so relevant, really. First half, I thought, played really well, really great atmosphere. Lovely to see the Valley packed and buzzing. Great save by Dylan Phillips. Second half, obviously, our way. I thought, great, we're going to see loads of goals go in. But no, same old Charlton, sit back, defence, make subs too early, changed the whole game. We lost it. I thought, oh, God, we're going to lose this, or we're going to draw. But managed to hold on. And it seemed to be an injury day today. Every 5 minutes somebody was down, injured. But a great result, and really happy that we've finally won in 2020.
play on here as Kyle has the ball. Bond over to the left-hand side. Kyle finds him. And Bentley's coming out of his goal. And Bond's got past him. Bond with the charge. Yeah! Bond with the goal!
Oh, what a goal!
End-to-end stuff here at Ashton Gate. And the goalie, Bond, gets another goal. Bentley, for whatever reason, came out of his goal. Bond gets there first. And with a tiny left-footed finish. And end-to-end stuff, but John have the lead.
Alright, so welcome back. This is Charlton Live on your Sunday evening, coming to you live from the Valley. We just heard there our new feature, Fans Views from the Fans Bar. If anyone can think of a better name than that, please send them in because I'm stumped, but that is a terrible name. But yeah, look out for Benji or whoever the next home game. We'll have a couple of people roaming around in the in crossbars, the fans bar, whatever you call it. And if you want to have your say on the show like that, you know, seek us out or look out for Ben and have your say on the show. It's a new thing, a new way to get you even more involved with the Charlton Live show. Mark Filsterson said he's enjoying the show. Thanks for that, Mark. I'm glad you are. Let's have a look at some of the emails as well that came in after yesterday's win. Right, I'm pleased to hear from Mad Dog Mendonca's dad. So we're hearing from the whole Mad Dog family. Now, so this is Mad Dog's
cat.
No, his dad.
Oh. Is, he said his cat.
No, I don't think a mad dog could have a cat. Could it? It'd be carnage. But so this is Mad Dog Mendonca's dad, Mick. Says, hi, guys. Great to play badly and win rather than play well and lose. A few observations from the match yesterday. Darren Prattley was our man of the match. He gave 100% as he does every week. Once again, after Johnny Williams and Lyle Taylor left the pitch, we looked a poorer side and the ball never stuck when it was played forward. As a defence, each player gives 100%. But as a unit, we cannot close a match out and we are prone to giving the ball away too easily. Second half, Barnsley looked like the only team that would score and their supporters will point to our keeper, crossbar and posts of denying them at least a point. In the coming weeks, keeping a clean sheet will be important. And I was surprised it was in midfield rather than our defence, which was strengthened in the transfer window. I remain optimistic that we can stay up, but hopes that our Achilles heel of always letting in goals will not catch us out. That's from Mad Dog Mendonca's dad, Mick. Tom, I mean, yeah, were you surprised that we didn't? I mean, because it has been a problem that we're not keeping too many clean sheets. I always say we're not the worst team defensively in the Championship, and we do seem to give away one or two a game, but we don't keep clean sheets. So were you surprised that maybe we didn't go for another defender? It was purely midfielders that came in?
Not particularly. I think maybe we need to play Albie Morgan and his defensive duty. No, I think I said that a centre back might be helpful, but for me, full backs would have been somewhere to strengthen, probably left back. And then I think I'd said someone in midfield, which obviously we've done, and a striker. I think they would have been the places, and I think Andre Green probably will fill that striker gap for the rest of the season. Obviously, that you want to try and strengthen everywhere. But I think Lockyer has come in and perform well. I think Naby on his day can, but you look at a lot of the goals this season and they're down to little individual mistakes, really. Like even yesterday, you could argue Forster Kaski giving the ball away. Now, obviously, you're still way in their half and they had a lot to do, but to get picked off on the counter like that, a team that are obviously fighting for their lives and throwing bodies forward, it's not unusual to happen. And obviously, Dylan, with that record of how many saves he's made, it does show that our defence does concede a lot of shots, but you know, we're down in the bottom half of the table for a reason, and I think it's something we're going to have to look at maybe next year. Obviously, Naby's contract will be up. I don't know about Piercy's, but I've said a couple of times he's sometimes struggled a little bit at this level, I think, since making the step up. But I don't know. I think it's par for the course, really. I don't think we're the worst defence in the league by any stretch.
Yeah, right. Charlton Exile says we should call the Fans Views from the Fans Bar. We should call it Vista Views, which makes that sort of works if we were allowed in the Vista Lounge. But I mean, that's a premium experience, so they don't let Benji in, unfortunately. Harsh. Right, I got this email in from Ken earlier, Ken Beecham, and I had a quick read for it, and there was a word I've never seen before. So right, and the word appears to be Politburo. And now, out of because I wanted to check how you pronounce it, I've got it here. So here we go.
Politburo.
Politburo. So that's something to do with... So has anyone heard of that word before?
Don't think so.
No? Right, so I Googled it. So the email starts off, having been run by a Politburo for one of the last few years, what a great feeling at last to have positive dialogue with our new owners. So a Politburo is something to do with the Communist Party of China, possibly, or and something Trotskyism. So I'm guessing it's just someone who doesn't speak much or something like that. So there we go. But anyway, he's talking about how it's great now to have dialogue with the new owners. They clearly recognise that the club and Addicts fans are one. And whilst it's an inbred trait for us to be cautious, optimism abounds. The window has been has given us some great signings, and best of all, Bowes on a decent contract and Lyle still with us. Fingers crossed that maybe for next season as well. That's from Ken out in Bexley Heaths, who's taught me a new word but also made a good point. It is nice, like I say, the communication. I've quite enjoyed it so far from Southwold. There's still a lot of questions that we don't know about, but I think their PR job has been done quite well so far.
Yeah, I think I've been impressed with him. I think he's making a very conscious effort to not be Roland du Châtelet. So I think, you know, he might have, I don't know if he sort of overstepped or, you know, slightly overexcited or inexperienced or whatever when it came to the messages that maybe promised more than they delivered on the deadline day. But I think it was just a, you know, well-intentioned idea to try and get the fans on board and you know, generate some excitement, because I don't think we've had much under the Roland regime. And I mean, as far just going back to the point about the transfers, I suppose, I don't know how much they thought into this, but I suppose if you look at it as Green came in for Lecco, Smith, I suppose, is a similar player to Gallagher. McGeady, I guess, is just a kind of an extra flair option.
But you described him as a bonus player.
Yeah, so. And then Davis is clearly a bit of a Prattley type player. So I can see their logic in terms of you know, getting bodies in and replacing the ones we've lost. And yeah, I was happy with it on whole. And Southall definitely seems to be a transparent guy, and that was definitely what he set out his MO as right from the off, which he was, you might not agree with what I do, but I'm always going to be you know, accountable for it. So yeah, I like him.
Yeah the transparency, I mean, obviously, yeah, he comes out and says what he thinks. So like I say, that there are still things that people are talking about behind the scenes, a bit of confusion about, you know, the fact the training ground's not ours yet, that sort of stuff. But he says he's going to sort that out in 6 months, and I guess really you probably have to sit back and wait for those 6 months to really see, as we said earlier, what's going to happen. I mean, people are always going to be nervous about that sort of thing, because at the back of your mind, you're a Charlton fan, you're used to conceding in the last minute, used to things going wrong when you don't want them to. So until everything's signed, sealed and delivered, I think that's when people will be calmer. But like I say, it's been an okay start, not a bad start, and certainly I think overall the communications has been pretty good. Right, Mark Newbury says, evening chaps, title of the email is Dirtier Than Swansea. I mean, I went there a few weeks ago, it was pretty dirty, but if you can't beat them, kick them seems to be Barnsley's idea in the first half. It was a nice 60 minutes of fairly relaxed playing, then 30 minutes of nail biting and bum clenching. He put brackets, my own. Well, I wasn't going to accuse you of anything, Mark. Think Bo actually made a mistake tactically when they came out in the second half and matched us up. We should have gone 4-4-2, take Pierce off and put Jake Forster-Caskey into the middle. We left too many gaps down the side, and Woodrow is a dangerous striker, as he proved. Positives being the team looked strong and the bench was full, which was nice, but I would like to have seen Chucks on the bench, as I think he holds the ball better up front. Now I think it's a two-horse race for player of the year between Prattley and Deals. Same names coming up again there, with pretty much 50-50, possibly Deals winning it, maybe Pratt second and Lockyer third. Stoke next week is another six-pointer, but with more players being fit and ready, we have to be positive. That's from Mark. Yeah, cheers for that, Mark. Duncan said, His Excellency learned yesterday what it means to be a Charlton supporter. We never do things the easy way. The result was all that mattered, though. We had the game under control until we conceded a goal from our attacking throw-in. So pleased that we managed to hold on. I thought we defended well, blocks, clearances off the line, and an amazing save from Dylan in the first half. We didn't do enough with the ball, though. Finally, no one, though, should question Lyle's commitment to the club after his performance. Yeah, I was interested, actually, in the Vista views there. Our friend Donny Dave, that you may have heard a Yorkshire accent in there, you're probably confused by that, but he's a Charlton supporter from Doncaster. He sort of was talking about people might be wondering what Lyle would be like, but there was no danger yesterday, Ben, about Lyle's performance, and I wasn't shocked by that at all, because at the same time in the summer when he wanted to leave, if we're being honest, and the transfer window slammed shut, he went and scored, what, four or five goals at the start of the season. No one can ever question when he's out there playing football, he's going to put 110% in.
Yep, he seemed 100% committed yesterday. From his goal yesterday, from, I think he ran back nearly the whole length of the pitch and made a great sliding tackle. From when Dylan made that save, I saw him give Dylan a massive bear hug to say, go on, son, well done. And the same when Green scored, he was the first to congratulate him. So he does care for the club, and that was there for all to see yesterday, I felt.
Right, Charlton Exile's helping me out here. So Charlton Exile says that the
Politburo
was the name they used to, in Russia, to describe the political cabinet of the day. Dates back to Soviet days, well before your time. Well, there you go. Fascinating.
We'll ask Terry next time.
Yeah, Terry probably bloody part of it. Right. Sebo says, I think there is enough spirit on the pitch and the singing fans in the stands to carry us comfortably over the line in terms of staying up. Yeah, certainly hope that will be the case. Right, Tom Van Der Steen sent us a direct message. Great show as always. Cheers, Tom. What a result and performance yesterday. Just what we needed. A positive weekend all around with the transfers too. Although it did seem to contradict the original strategy that Matt Southall set out of bringing players in for the bigger project and not just to stay up as they were all loan signings. I think that has been a successful window, though. With the January window being what it is, I think it was as good as it was ever going to be. And if you look around the league, I don't think there are many teams that had a better one than us. That's from Tom up in Cheshire. Yeah, I mean, it was a slow window altogether. I think if you look at the likes of Hull, who lost, what, two of their bigger players and then got Marcus Madison in, Tom, and you try to look around, I don't know, I was asked to ask him. The Barnsley manager yesterday, when I spoke to him, was disappointed they couldn't get a central defender in because clearly they can't defend set pieces. But also they've got Bambo Diaby out on a drugs charge at the moment, suspended. So I mean, clearly they could have done with a player. That's a team that hasn't perhaps improved themselves as much as we have.
Yeah, I don't think many teams have. As I think you just said there, it was a slow transfer window. Even if you go from the Premier League down, I don't think there was a lot of business done. I think going into the final day, I was a little bit concerned because obviously we'd only made that one, or I think we'd just got McGeady over the line by then.
Bureau.
But I think to get three players in at the end, it's not the best transfer window in the world. But when you compare it to the rest of the teams in the league, I don't think we've done too badly at all. I think retaining Lyle, getting Bowyer signed down to contracts, those little bits are important as well. As I say, hopefully transitioning out of the Roland days is obviously massive for the club. And one of the guys said it there about the atmosphere that's here and stuff. The club's in a good place at the moment, and obviously you need players on the pitch to perform. But with all the injuries coming back, we saw for the first 2 months of the season what the current squad we've got is capable of. And we just needed a bit of support for those players so that you haven't got to throw in the likes of a Vennings or a Davison and to have to play five or six games, because that's just not fair on them. I think the players that we brought in on the whole will do that, supplement the squad nicely. And I agree, as I said earlier, I've been pretty consistent in this. I think we've got enough to stay up, and yeah, the additions aren't, you know, Messi or Ronaldo, but I don't think realistically they're ever going to be. I think they're all right, and we'll see how they get on in the next few weeks.
Well, like we say, in the summer when ESI go out and prove themselves, yeah, and sign Messi and Ronaldo, I mean that'll be fast. They'll get a big tick from me. Right, Joe Steiner Lawson says, what did you think of the attempt to get fans slow singing Valley Floyd Road pre-game? Said it was a bit cringy. Did you see this, Ollie, at the start? I think Brian tried to get everyone to join in and sing, and they played the music. But
yeah, and I think it came up on the screen as well.
Oh, did it? I didn't notice it was on the screen. It was a valiant effort, but because I mean, I think Forest do it.
Yeah, Forest do it, and it does sound really good.
They sing it slow, don't they?
They sing it slow. It obviously Mull of Kintyre is sung slowly.
Yeah,
but it's. We don't need the words up on the screen, I guess, yeah. But at the same time, it would sound good because we do really rush through.
Yeah, well, if we can get Paul McCartney down with our new ESI millions, maybe that will force it. But I can see what they're trying to do. I don't think it quite come off. I think the Coverdale was singing something else at the time anyway, so it didn't really work, but a decent effort. Doogie says, a good partnership in the making, Green and Taylor. They run the channels so well. Keep them both fit and we will climb the table, no doubt about it, and adds that he felt it was a good window. Yeah, and I did certainly like the look of that partnership, that burgeoning partnership yesterday between Andre Green and Lyle Taylor. Let's hope we see a lot more of that and still Macaulay Bond to come back as well. Right, I promised you an interview with a bit of a Charlton legend. We've already heard from Stella Steve, but we've got now Colin Walsh. Stella Steve was the one who was really drunk on the thing, by the way, on the fans, on Vista Views. Right, Colin Walsh, everyone knows the man. He is forever remembered for scoring that goal back at the Valley in 1992. But he did have a long career with the club, full of fond memories. He was here at the Valley on Thursday evening for the 80s evening. They had eight players from the 80s. I think they've already done one for the 70s. I assume there's one for the 90s. It's run by the Trust. I think so. They'll be raising money for it. It sounds like it was a pretty good evening. I was asked if I wanted to go down and speak to some of these players. Unfortunately, they were slightly before my time. But like I say, Terry, he was already collecting his pension by the time this lot were turning out in a Charlton shirt. So he remembers more about their careers, and he was in a good position to go and ask Colin Walsh about some of those fond memories he has with his time at the club.
Yeah, I've done 10 years at Charlton and enjoyed every minute of it, apart from breaking the legs and things like that. But I got back and I really enjoyed it.
I think the affinity that fans have with you is you joined, of course you joined after the club left the Valley and had to play at Selhurst Park, but you're part of the side that was here when we came back and then for a good few years afterwards as well. And that cemented your place, I think, in Charlton folklore.
Well, I don't see it like that. I was playing for a football club, which I enjoyed playing for, and the supporters and everything. I've came from a club, Nottingham Forest, which we were away from the supporters, basically, a little bit. We were separate, but I came here and I realised straight away how the club works and how we had to work for the club. And it worked out all right for me.
I think everybody, all your ex-colleagues that are here tonight have all said pretty much the same thing. Charlton's just that little bit different in terms of the community spirit and the connection they have with the fan base.
Yeah, when I was injured, I went to Peterborough and Middlesbrough and things like that, but it didn't actually seem the same. As you say, the atmosphere with the supporters and things like that, it seems as though they were part of the team as well. And it was... It was a great 10 years I had here.
Of course, it'd be remiss of me, and I think one of the reasons that you're remembered in Charlton folklore is that goal, of course.
Yeah, I've never been asked that question before, how I feel or anything like that, but it was special. It was special in my life, and it's one of the best things I've ever done.
Do you think you realised at the time just how important that was?
No, not at all. No, not at all. We were just having 3 points, and because we were in a bad run at the time, and we won the game, and... The atmosphere was horrendous. It was brilliant, and you could actually feel the energy coming on the pitch. But as you say, I never realised at the time how important I was, but I'm so proud of it.
Because you'd have been involved in the 87 player final up at Leeds or against Leeds and at St Andrews, and I was just speaking to Bob Boulder in terms of the importance of that game. Maybe if that hadn't gone the way we'd wanted to, 92 might not have happened.
Yes, but Lenny played that down completely. We never knew what was happening behind the scenes or anything like that until we actually won that game. But it was a hell of a long season, that one. And I always remember looking back at Mark Reid and feeling very tired and everything like that. Then I looked at Mark and I thought, I can't look as bad as that or feel as bad as that.
And I'm sure you tell him that.
Yeah. I see Mark quite a bit, actually, when I go up to Scotland, so we're still in touch.
So in terms of memorable games, would you put the 87, or because you scored the 92 game as the most memorable?
Oh, 92, the goal back at the Valley, yeah, no problem at all.
And the fact that you're here, and you're still here, and you're still coming back to these events shows that just how Charlton gets in your bloodstream.
Of course it is. You've got the boys over there who are... it was like a family we had. But as you said, it was brilliant.
So there we go. That was Charlton legend Colin Walsh speaking to Terry at the 80s evening here at the Valley on Thursday evening. I mean, obviously, even for fans like us in the studio, who unfortunately weren't here to witness the 1992, unless you're a lot older than you look, Ollie. But we all know everything about him, and it was great to hear that. He's still got this affinity with the club. So that was at the 80s evening during the week. So we've also got an interview with Robert Lee and also with Bob Boulder lined up, which we'll hear over the course of the next few weeks, which looking forward to playing to you. And thanks to Terry for going up and grabbing those interviews. So we've got 5 minutes left, Tom. I think it's maybe we obviously we'll look ahead properly on Thursday.
Yeah,
but I mean we're coming up to this run of we're in this run of games now where we're playing a lot of the teams around us in and around us. I mean. I still can't believe that Wigan beat Leeds yesterday. I didn't even realise they were winning until injury time when I was just finishing off my match report, and I was definitely putting ourselves our result at risk because I always have to write before full time. So I was writing about a victory when I didn't know we actually had one, but luckily we held on. And I went to put how many points clear we were of the relegation zone, clicked on the table, and I was like, what the hell are Wigan doing winning at Leeds? But we'd have at least dragged Huddersfield and Stoke back into it a bit. They both got beat over the weekend. Yeah. It's getting tight down there. I'm saying now, Luton and Barnsley, both on 24 points, it's going to be a tough one for them. It could change in 3 weeks and I'll look stupid, but it's going to be tough for them to get out of it. Wigan, 29 points. I mean, that's going to be a big morale-boosting victory for them. Stoke and Huddersfield, they're on 31, 32. We're there on 33. Middlesbrough on 36. Mm. You'd probably say Middlesbrough are feeling reasonably safe, but again, anything can change. But it's starting to take shape now, isn't it? That bottom of the table, and the next few weeks when we play the likes of Stoke, we play the likes of Luton as well and down there, and Huddersfield, and we got Middlesbrough before you know the start of March. I mean, that's going to be fascinating. And I think the next few weeks are really going to colour where we finish now.
Yeah, I think those three or four games pretty much will decide where we finish. I think we've got the likes of Forest coming up as well, who are obviously in the top six, and we know our record against top six opposition. So, but those games at the bottom, you know, it's a cliche, but they almost count double, don't they? So they are absolutely massive. Obviously, as you said, starts on Saturday away at Stoke. But I'm still confident, and I think, you know, we're just starting to turn that corner now. And it's just going to be a scrap to the finish line now. I do think we've got enough, definitely. But they're huge games and they're pressure games. And I think in the last couple of seasons, we've really shown that we can handle that. Obviously, Doncaster was a bit nervy at the end in the semi-final. Obviously, we all know what happened at Wembley. But, you know, those are high-pressure occasions. And I think we've handled them a lot better than we have in recent seasons. I'm confident. As I said earlier about the squad harmony, I think that does play a massive part at this stage in the season, that all the players are really fighting for each other. I think the crowd down here makes a huge difference as well. You see it every single week now, opposition fans and fans of other clubs who happen to come down here for a game. The atmosphere here is just pretty solid and highly rated, and it does make a difference. You can hear it. I sat over in the east yesterday, which normally I sit down in the north, and you can really hear it travel around the stadium. So it's not just up that end of the pitch, and you know, it makes a difference. It was a fortress here last season, and obviously we lost our way a little bit in the middle of this year, but if we can pick results back up again here, then people aren't going to want to come here. So yeah, February's a massive, massive month.
Yeah, and we look forward to sharing it with you here on Charlton Live as the month progresses. Right, we've come to the end of this evening's show. It's absolutely flown by. Thanks to all of you who've got involved via tweets or emails or on the forum or speaking to Ben, which is, you know, no mean feat. Thanks to you chaps for all coming in. Good to see you all.
Thank you.
Well done, lads. I've been that was a disgraceful end to the show, Benji.
Should do it again.
Yeah, try that again, Ben. You're right, yeah?
I don't know. No,
you can still breathe, right, okay. Right, I've been Louis Mendez. Thank you for joining us here. We'll be back here on Thursday evening to look ahead to the Stoke game, massive game. I look forward to speaking to you again then. But thanks for listening to this evening's show, and we shall see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.